is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
London headlines. Ukraine makes tactical breakthrough after breaching Russian defenses. London headlines. U.S. ex-general wants to give Ukraine maximum range missiles that can strike deep into Crimea. London headlines. Ukraine, Russia. Pope hits out at Poland over weapons withdrawal. I welcome Katrina Vandenhoevel, who will not solve the London headlines. However, Katrina is here to comment on where we are in the war moving towards diplomacy. Katrina and I, for a year and a half, have talked about the fact, inarguable, that this war will end on a table, and the table will have talk around it, and there will be a ceasefire, an armistice, a treaty, an agreement in some fashion. Where are we moving towards that table? Katrina, a very good evening to you. The president of Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky, was in Washington these last days after speaking to the United Nations. And part of his endeavor was to thank the American people, but also to warn the administration and the majority leader of the Senate, Mr. Schumer, that without the aid continuing, as Mr. Zelensky said bluntly, we will lose the war. Mr. Zelensky also met with Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, who deliberately did not provide Mr. Zelensky the joint Congress address that is ordinary to a dignitary of Mr. Zelensky's status. I mention all of this because there is dissent building in Washington, but also in Europe, about the Ukraine war and how long it will go on, the deprivations of the European Union, and the doubts about Russia's intentions beyond Ukraine. What is your measure of Zelensky's visit recently in Washington? Did you regard that as a success, as a healthy turning of the page of the war in Ukraine?
I think I regarded it more as the beginning of desperation inside the Ukrainian leadership. When Zelensky came last, he spoke to the Congress. He also came and asked for much, and much was given. This tour through Washington, through New York, was more beginning with gratitude. He'd heard that there was unhappiness and rumblings inside the administration, other with the constant demands for weapons and grumbling that not enough were given. I think this is a turning point in some ways. I don't see dissent inside Washington, John, but I do think in the last few days we've seen some media examples of what we might not have seen a year ago. One was 60 Minutes, I believe last night, raising the question of where the funding was going. Certainly a realistic question. People should know what the exit strategy is, what the costs of war are. I don't know if you remember, but just a few weeks ago there was an accounting error of $6.2 billion in the Pentagon. So you see in the letter sent by the fractious Republican group a series of questions which are about accountability, about money. Why are we there? That's its own group. I don't see that in the Democratic Party, questions that might be raised from a more humane perspective. Biden, and I'll stop here, but Biden has moved. John, we've talked almost every week for a long time, certainly since the illegal invasion. And he and his aides said, no way, none of these ATACMS missiles, which have a much longer reach into Russia. Biden did not want to see NATO U.S. weapons going inside Russia. And he resisted. I think the next stage, the pressure on Biden will be to provide military advisors, U.S. military advisors. There's a big essay in Foreign Affairs making the case for that, both politically and economically. So I don't see in the last week much diplomatic activity. I see the 60 Minutes, obviously what that is. I also see a piece in the Forward publication, a small publication by our friend Lev Glinken, noting that Zelensky and others, along with Justin Trudeau in Canada in the parliament, speaker of that parliament, invited a 96-year-old veteran of the Waffen SS. And that that raises a lot of questions. It doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not tied to Zelensky, but there was a lot of applause. And I think it raises questions about things that have been off the terrain to discuss.
I measure where we are in this war on the basis of the weapon systems. That's one kind of measurement.
Yeah.
And we now have the news from London that the first Abrams tank has arrived. In addition, we're told that Mr. Biden told Mr. Zelensky he will send those long-range
yes.
attack-ems. We're also seeing more and sophisticated drone attacks inside Russia, something that was impossible to imagine at the beginning months of the war.
Well, Biden ruled it out, John. And it's not just inside Russia. It's in Crimea. And I mention that with a loud voice because that in many ways was the beginning act of the, you know, the war. Well, it was the beginning act of Russia coming in and seizing Crimea, which has been contested over centuries. So that's, you know, the whole danger of going into Russian territory. It's a danger, but I pick up particularly that President Biden said the administration would not do that. So there's clearly pressure direction, which is not toward the table for discussion and dialogue. That table's not yet built. And I don't know where it will be built because you're seeing, as you noted, John, increasing more dissent, I suspect, in Europe, old Europe at least. I mean, the deindustrialization of Germany, industrialization being the identity of post-war Germany, has to play a role. Poland seems to be close to conflict of some kind with Ukraine because of the grain situation, and they're facing an election too. As you noted in Czech, Slovakia?
There's now an election.
Someone who's closer to the Kremlin than to Eastern Europe being countries.
Well, holding the European Union together is a prospect on any issue, let alone one as controversial as this war. Do you measure the American people are forming an opinion now, Katrina? Because there have been yellow and blue flags all across America for a year and a half. But is that changing to your measure outside of New York and Washington?
You know, I wish I could travel more and get a better sense. I speak with humility, but I think the polls are moving in a different direction. They're not moving toward more support. However, Democrats are more supportive of ongoing aid than Republicans, even non-fractious Freedom Caucus Republicans. But I do see the questions are growing. Like, what is the exit strategy? How much? And especially as we face a government shutdown, you know, the issues of, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, you have the possibility of a longer UAW strike and what that means for the economy. If the economy gets more sour, it's not sour, but for many people, they don't see the greatness of the economy. You could see many more questions being raised. But I do think, as we've talked about it, John, the hope is that there would be a dialogue that would not be isolationist in any way, but would provide for a more secure Ukraine. I see that, you know, there is now a kind of reconstruction czar appointed by Biden. Penny Pritzker, who was the fundraising chief for Obama, comes from a storied family, brother is governor of Illinois. She's, you know, people are meeting with the oligarchs of America. But you can't have a real reconstruction until there's a ceasefire.
Katrina Vandenhoevel is the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine, as well as the columnist of The Washington Post. I'm John Mayer.